One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along.
Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio Show. This is show number 268, believe it or not. We're brought to you by Madden Funds, Mike and Danny Madden, Local 150, Jimmy Sweeney, our old pal, Fox's Pizza, Ryan Fox, Flood Brothers, Bill, Bob, all the Flood Brothers, Kevin, and Guinness is good for you. You can listen to the show every Saturday night, streaming live on Global Irish Radio, 7 p.m., GIR.ie. Or on Sundays, the podcast is usually up later Sunday at Hibernian Radio or HibernianRadio.org. So, hope everybody had a great Easter. Now things are going to settle down, hopefully. I want to wish everybody the best of holidays, and we had one too. But our old pal, Mr. Greg Holloman, has been working very hard with us for our new series idea, Seamus O'Hooligan Jr., Black Irishman. We're going to play the 10th episode right now, and then we're going to put this baby on ice for a while we fine-tune it and hopefully sell it and turn it into an adult cartoon, because it is very adult. I'll tell you that going in. Anyway, here's episode 10, our old pal Greg Holloman and Seamus O'Hooligan Jr., Black Irishman.
Welcome back to episode 10 of Seamus O'Hooligan Jr., Black Irishman. In the previous episode, the hind reader Luna Bottoms warned me that if I tried to go home,
there'd be an evil-ass banshee on top of your black ass.
But what if I tried to appease the banshee by rubbing her bottom?
Banshees are not bottom bitches, Seamus.
So I asked my pops to call my mom as I was in Ireland illegally. But I could see how difficult it was for him to call her after 18 plus years. So I decided to make the longest distance call and tell her I was in Ireland.
Number, please.
Hello, operator. I'd like to make a collect call to Holland, New York in America.
That'll be $18.18 a minute to South America.
No, operator. I'm calling Harlem, New York, collect. In North America.
Please listen closely as our menu options often change. If you're calling Peru, press 1.
No, Harlem, New York. I'm calling Harlem.
If you've entered the country illegally through a portal and you are trying to escape an evil-ass banshee, press 2, twice.
Oh, man.
If you're really 5 inches and you told your wife you're 9 inches, press 3, once.
What? I'm not even married.
You've pressed Peru. If this is correct, press the pound key
what
twice.
What the hell? I pressed banshee twice.
You appear to be having trouble pressing the button. Please hold, and your operator will be with you shortly.
Oh, come on.
Hello, this is Henry. You appear to be having trouble connecting to Peru.
You're Henry? Anyway, sir, I don't want Peru. I pressed twice for a banshee. I'm trying to escape an evil-ass banshee.
My name is Henrietta, sir. I just use Henry for short.
Oh, okay. I was confused.
Sir, have you actually heard or seen an evil-ass banshee?
Heard or seen an evil-ass banshee? No.
That is good, sir. Very good. Because if you had, that could mean certain death a few days from now.
Certain death?
Yes. Banshees are messengers of death, sir.
Your voice sounds familiar. Do you know the hind reader, Luna Bottoms?
Yes, sir. She's my sister and also an embarrassment to our entire family.
An embarrassment? Why?
I mean, flaunting her ass to anyone with a handout? Come on, get a real job.
Well, say what you will, her prediction was on the money. So are you saying I don't need to worry about an evil-ass banshee now?
No, she's an accurate palm reader. It's just embarrassing.
You know what, Henry? I think I'd just like to make a collect call to Harlem.
Yes, sir. Let me now connect you to an American operator.
Hello, this is Diana. How may I direct your call?
I can barely hear you, operator. Diana? Ma?
Junior?
Mom, what are you doing here?
Did you forget I work part-time as an operator for the phone company?
No, Ma. I was just shocked to hear your voice.
Guess what? I'm shocked at Junior.
Well, Ma, you're probably shocked at...
I'm shocked that you finally called.
No, Ma. See, what happened was I had found...
Guess what else? I'm shocked at
Junior. I don't know, Ma. Could it be because...
Because you left the country without giving your mother a goodbye.
Ma, I didn't leave the country.
Oh, you didn't leave the country? The country left you? Is that it? Why, if you didn't leave the country, am I getting a call from an operator in Ireland?
Ma, do you want to speak to Dad?
Does a frog have a glass ass?
No, ma'am. It does not.
What number are you trying to reach, sir?
Ma, come on. Quit being like that. Listen, I was just trying to call you.
What were you trying to call me for?
I was trying to call you because...
Because you forgot it was your grandfather's birthday tomorrow?
I was trying to call you because...
Because you realize now that love is about building a life beyond the spotlight of the stage.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Diane. It's me. Fingers.
You got some nerve getting Junior to call me after all these years.
I know, but I need your help, Diane. It's about our son, Seamus Jr.
And what's my son got to do with this?
Well, you see, he found my enchanted banjo, Fionnuala, certainly remember, and it's transported him to Ireland through a magical portal in Bethel.
Are you kidding me? That f***ing banjo strike again?
No, you're still mad about the wedding night, but... We have to help our son.
Oh, you bet I'm still mad. You choose that hunk of wood over our marriage, and now it's taking my son to Ireland?
Please, Diane, can we put our differences aside and work together to bring Seamus Jr. back home? Please.
Sure. Why not? Maybe after 19 years, you'll finally learn to prioritize your family over that f***ing banjo.
Thank you, Diane. I promise we'll sort everything out once our son is back in Harlem.
We'd better, Fingers, or you and that banjo will be sleeping in separate countries permanently.
Was that a threat? Was that a promise? Maybe I should just stay here in Ireland. Is it time to get the family back together?
Find out on the next episode of Seamus O'Hooligan Jr., Black Irishman.
And that was the amazing, the unique Mr. Gregory Holloman, second singing, funny man. And he's a lot of fun to work with, I can tell you that. And the beauty of that, he's in Florida, I'm here. He had somebody, a couple of different women doing the guy is all over the place, and he put it all together. So God bless him, and stay tuned. There's going to be more of that funny little comic soap opera. Okay, now, this week, a couple of things I want. I'm going to Buffalo the end of April for the Irish Echo Irish American Heroes Awards with my old pal Pete Nolan and Dennis Kearns. Looking forward to that. We had a kid on our show a couple weeks ago, John Joe Horan. Got a great story about him in this week's Irish Echo. Just go online to the Irish Echo and look up Mike Houlihan and you'll see the story. Hopefully, I think John Joe will like that. But now, unfortunately, we had scheduled our old pal, Alamo, James Duke Alamo Lynch, 39 years at Chicago Police Department, 15 years Mayor Daley's bodyguard, Vietnam veteran, Bronze Star recipient, and just an amazing guy with a million stories. He's going through some health issues, and he couldn't make it tonight. So we thought, what do we do? Well, we're going to go back and listen to the first time he was on our show. He's done the show 15 or 16 times. This is his first show back on October 10th, 2020, over at Lizzie McNeil's. Let's give a listen to the first show Alamo Lynch did with us back in 2020. We were lucky. We were lucky to get a pinch hitter here at the last minute. They won and only... James Duke Lynch, a.k.a. Alamo. Alamo, welcome back.
Hey, nice to be here, buddy.
Oh, so great to see you again.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Oh, man. So for those of you who don't know, he has a storied history as a Vietnam veteran, 39 years on the Chicago Police Department, 15 years as
the mayor's bodyguard.
Mayor's bodyguard. And then a plethora of other crazy things he's done in his past and is still doing.
Yeah, just fell off the step.
He did. He made a grand entrance tonight. He'll be suing the Cork and Kerry later.
I'll be owning the Cork and Kerry.
He's going to talk to Jim McGang about representing him on that. Anyway, so glad to have you here, pal.
Nice to be here.
Now, you brought some mementos tonight.
I brought some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But because of the... One of the things we've been doing the show, and I've explained this before, is we honor Irish first responders, our cops, firefighters, paramedics, because we feel they are the modern-day equivalent of our Irish mythological warriors. But this summer, because the crap hit the fan in June, and we said we're just going to go all police up until maybe the end of this month, until Halloween anyway, because it's just terrible what the police are going through and the no respect for the police. And so we said we're going to get the best cops in Chicago on this show, and here they are, and here's with them. We're with one of them tonight. So that's, you got a take on what's going on? And the,
well, I'm glad it's not me. Yeah. I'd be in jail for sure.
Yeah.
I'd be in jail for sure. Yeah. I got shot.
Oh, yeah.
Robbing the liquor store, 55th and Halstead. And we didn't have vests then. This was in 75 or 6. And I was working by, we worked one-man cars then. And the call came over, robbery in progress at the liquor store. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was, to say liquor store in Inglewood was, which one?
I mean, exactly.
There was a lot of them.
Yeah.
So this was the one on the corner. So the one guy ran out. I shot him.
Yeah.
And shot him.
As he was coming out the
door.
He
was coming out.
Yeah.
He was armed.
Yeah.
You know, I shot him. And then I went over to see if he was dead. And the second guy came out of nowhere and shot me in the stomach.
Yeah. And you almost died.
Almost died. I got the last rites 3 times in the hospital.
Yeah. And you had a good Irish doctor.
Dr. McCarthy.
Yeah.
Right off the boat from Ireland.
Yeah.
Saved my life.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's gone on to the Innisfree.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was a good guy. He came in my...
God bless him.
I lost 38 pounds
in
the hospital because, you know, I was there for 3 months. And after I started to feel a little better, the nurses were starting to look pretty good. So I thought, well, maybe it's time to go. But McCarthy came into my room smoking a cigar.
Oh, yeah, Dr. McCarthy.
God bless him. He weighed about 350 pounds. I'm surprised his arms were long enough to reach for the surgery, but he was a great guy. You know how doctors don't talk to you much?
Yeah, and I like doctors.
He must have liked me because he came in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, just so in case nobody knows, when you were in fifth grade, first of all, you loved John Wayne.
Oh, the Duke.
And the movie The Alamo was playing. It was at the Jeffrey Theater?
At the Jeffrey Theater.
And you went like
500. Every day for was there for a month.
And you had to repeat fifth grade because of it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the ways you became known as Alamo.
Yeah, that's when I became Alamo.
Okay.
Well, you know, the Alamo was a great story because I was a John Wayne fan before The Alamo. Because I was 10. Mm-hmm. My dad took me down to the Palace Theater.
To see the movie?
For my birthday.
Yeah.
And then when he found out that it was like $5 each to
you
get in.
You told me this. Yeah.
Yeah. He said, well, let's go to Garrett's and get some popcorn. I said, no. Nah, I kind of threw a tantrum. And said, no, you promised me. So he said, okay. But boy, to see the Alamo on that big
screen.
Oh, my God. It was like being there. And I said, you know,
Dad. And the Duke directed that film.
Yeah, and produced it, too.
Wow.
Put $2 million of his own money into that
one. Holy cow.
Built the sets. The sets were real.
And you also went to Duke's funeral.
And I went to Duke's funeral. That was...
Met James Arness.
James Arness. Jimmy Stewart. His kids were there. Duke's kids were there.
This is in a private bar.
Yeah, it was at a bar. Well... Yeah,
After
the funeral. He became a Catholic on his deathbed.
Did he really?
So the Cardinal of Panama, I guess, was his friend.
Yeah.
So he gave him the last rites, and he died a Catholic.
Oh, God bless.
Because, you know, his wives were all Catholic.
Yeah.
And he wanted his kids to be Catholic.
He had a thing for Maureen O'Hara, too.
I don't know. You know what? I've read her book. I've read many books on the Duke. Everybody always says, I wonder if they were more than friends.
Intimate, yes.
And I met Maureen O'Hara twice.
Yeah. Did she know your nickname was Duke?
Duke, yeah. She signed my John Wayne book.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Duke, because she was doing Only the Lonely here with John Candy.
Oh, the film. Yeah.
And then I met her.
She was great in that.
Oh, she was great.
That's a good movie.
And Anthony Quinn was such a great guy.
Yeah.
Anthony Quinn, big guy, too. I didn't realize, they look so big on the screen.
Yeah.
But I worked on movies for 15 years, and I met a lot of them. Paul Newman.
You worked special events?
Yeah,
I worked
on movies for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
John Candy was the... Mel Gibson was the best guy.
Yeah.
Very Catholic then. I don't know what happened to him. He must have fallen off the wagon.
What are you talking about? He's making a new movie called The Resurrection.
Right.
Yeah. But he made The Passion of the Christ. Yeah.
But he was signing pictures for...
Who, Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every day I would ask him to sign some more.
You were working on the set.
And he'd say, Duke, how many kids do you have? Because I told him they were for my kids,
And they were selling them.
He said, Duke, how many kids do you have? So I told him that joke.
What's that?
After Braveheart, why did the Scotch wear kilts? Because zippers scare the sheep. Luckily, he laughed, or I'd have been out. But what a great guy he was.
Uh-huh.
But John Candy was, he was so lovable. He was like a big bear.
Now, let me rein you in a little bit. You were telling me a story about working at a cemetery.
Yeah.
Overnight as like a...
Oh, I was detailed.
What cemetery?
Oakwoods Cemetery.
Oakwoods, that's right, because you were telling me you were there the other day.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And I grew up in South Shore, and it was at 71st and... Cottage,
mm-hmm.
Oakwood Cemetery. Mm-hmm. We used to go there when I was a kid because that's how I got interested in the Civil War because
the Confederate soldiers,
Confederate prisoners were buried there from Camp Douglas, which nobody knows about. But anyway, it was at 35th and Lakeshore Drive. Well, anyway, so Big Jim Colosimo, who was a gangster,
the mobster,
in 1920, Al Capone killed him.
Yeah.
And he was buried in... Because he was divorced, they wouldn't bury him in Mount Carmel.
Right.
So they had to pick a secular cemetery.
Yeah.
And I knew that word secular because I went to college for a year.
Okay.
Everybody thinks because you're a policeman, you're dumb. I know some words. Well, anyway, it was the anniversary of when he got killed. And he was buried in...
Big Jim Colosimo.
Big Jim. And... He was supposedly buried with 245s and all his jewelry.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So somebody called up and said they were going to break into the mausoleum and steal his guns and his jewelry.
Yeah.
So I was on Midnights and 22, Morgan Park, out here.
Yeah.
And they said there's only one guy that'll go, Duke, because nobody wanted to spend the night in the cemetery, right?
Yeah. By himself.
Yeah, by himself. Yeah. Well, I had 12 friends with me. I got a 12-pack on the way there. So 11:30, I'm driving over to Oakwood Cemetery.
Yeah.
I stop and get a 12-pack.
So you're reporting at midnight. That's
Caretaker met me at the... They had everything set up.
Yeah.
Caretaker met me at the gate, let me in.
Yeah.
But they didn't tell me where the mausoleum was.
Yeah.
So I'm driving around in the dark at midnight, and I just happened to... Oakwood's is a big cemetery.
Yeah.
And I just happened to come across it. So I sat... I had my car. I didn't have a squad car.
Oh,
so I had my car, the 12-pack.
Yeah.
And I drank. And after about 2 or 3 hours, I was feeling kind of good. So I thought I'd walk around
Take
a walk, tripped over a few graves.
Yeah.
Not as bad as I fell here, though. But it was fun. It was fun. Yeah.
You made it through the night.
The hardest part was driving home. I was so drunk. 7:30 in the morning, the sun came up, and I'm going, oh, God, what am I doing?
And by the way, folks, he hasn't had a drink in what?
39 years.
39 years.
Yeah.
God bless you.
May 25th. The day before the Duke's birthday. I mean, I would have... I can't believe I quit on the day before Duke's birthday.
And what year was that?
78.
Okay. Yeah.
It was 39 years.
Okay.
May 25th, it was 39 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I had two slips.
What's that?
Well, I went down for the Vietnam parade.
Yeah.
And it was 150 degrees that day. Somebody offered me a beer. I was... Gonna have a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
They gave me a beer, and that's all I remember.
That's all you needed, yeah.
Next thing I knew, I was in Grant Park killing communists.
Okay.
And my sister
and
had
what's
to,
the other slip?
Yeah, the other slip was I was in Cincinnati.
For a Reds game.
The Reds game.
Because your dad loved the Reds.
My dad, yeah, we both loved the Reds.
Yeah.
Who got knocked, unfortunately, all the Chicago teams and my Reds got knocked out
yeah.
Yeah, quicker than the Alamo. No. By the way, speaking of the Alamo,
yeah.
We were talking about the Alamo.
Yeah.
I brought my Alamo. I'm wearing my
oh,
Alamo
you got your Alamo shirt
on tonight.
Yeah,
because.
Yeah.
So I would like to do the speech.
Oh, yeah.
That I did. Frank will remember this. When I was in eighth grade, I think. I did.
Frankie Moran's in the
Frankie
house.
Frankie Moran's in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, he was a fireman, though. There's only two people who make money on their backs, whores and firemen. Frankie, I love Frankie, though.
All right, tell us.
All right.
You're the
okay, man. So we're in the speech contest at St. Philip Neri.
Ah. And how old were you, like sixth grade or something?
I was in eighth grade.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And so I thought, well, you know, the Alamo is a great speech, so I'll do it. So Duke is Davy Crockett, and these Mexican girl says, you know, what's going to happen to us? They were going along, and Duke said, I'm going to tell you something, Flocken, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere. When I come down here to Texas, I was looking for something. I didn't know what. Seems like you add up my life, and I spent it all either stomping other men or, in some cases, getting stomped. Had me some money and had me some medals. None of it seemed a lifetime worth the pain of the mother that bore me. It was like I was empty. Well, I'm not empty anymore. That's what's important. To feel useful in this old world. To hit a lick against what's wrong or to say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I might sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. And you got to do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. Do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat. So.
Bravo.
I got a little choked up there.
You should.
Yeah.
That was dynamite.
Yeah,
and from memory as
and
well.
And from memory. Well, my wife says, how can you watch the Alamo again? And it's a 3-hour movie. I mean, it's you know how it's going to end. Not well. It doesn't end well. Amy Madigan was in that speech contest.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she was. I thought you were going to say she was in the Alamo.
Yeah, she was in. Oh yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Forget about him. Okay. You're talking to the audience.
Okay, now I brought some stuff.
Oh yeah.
By the way,
mementos.
Yeah, my wife Jean brought me this hat.
Yeah.
And we're going green tonight, so I thought since Jean bought me this hat,
sure,
and it's green,
yeah, and that's
and
your
we're
Alamo
in an
shirt.
Irish bar, so I figured, so I wore the hat. Wanted
that's
to get
cool.
my wife's name in because she said I didn't mention her last
okay,
time.
There, what's her name?
Jean.
Jean.
So Jean.
Shout out to Jean.
Jean has been with me for 12 years.
Jean Lynch.
Jean Lynch, Polish girl.
Oh,
nice though.
Okay,
yeah, that's Polish. She's still got her communion money.
And what else did you bring?
I brought some stuff.
Yeah, okay,
Frank, you'll like this. My great-grandfather.
Oh, wait. Your dad was a cop.
My dad was a cop.
Let's set that up.
Well,
yeah.
My grandmother, maiden name was McKernan.
Okay.
I guess the Irish just marry each other, right?
Well,
so anyway,
that's true.
This was my grandmother's father.
Wow.
He came over in 1892, around 1892. Went on the fire department in 1900.
Turn that around so I can see it.
And
yeah, that's beautiful.
He was a captain.
That's cool.
And he made captain at the
It's a captain's
he was a captain.
Helmet.
Yeah, and he made captain at the Iroquois Theater fire.
Oh, that's right.
In 1903.
And that's when, like, several, they were trapped in the theater,
yeah,
right?
You know why? That's the fire that changed the regulations, right, Frank? Because they opened,
the panic bar.
They opened in before.
Yeah.
So he, yeah. But he saved, he was actually to save some kids. because it was mostly kids that yeah. died in the fire. Yeah. So great grandfather. I've been offered a lot of money for that helmet.
Right, give me that. I'll hold on to it.
Sure.
Okay.
So now, we all grew up in South Shore.
Not all of us. I was from Beverly. Yeah.
No, that's okay.
Go ahead.
That's okay. That's okay. That's Thank close. You. Yeah, close enough.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time there.
Yeah. We spent a lot of time in Beverly, yeah. right, Frank? At the Beverly Theater.
The Beverly Theater.
I remember seeing King of Kings there with Tom and Bert.
And Yul Brynner.
And Yul Brynner. And George Albies. You know, George passed away. Yeah, God rest his soul. We're getting older. All our friends are
Tell me about it.
We're going.
Wait till I get to the Obits tonight.
Yeah. 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 So anyway, my dad...
Get the class picture.
Yeah. My dad graduated from...
What was your dad's name?
Frank.
Frank Lynch.
Frank. Okay. But everybody, a lot of people called him Joe, because that was his middle name.
Okay. Francis Joseph yes. Lynch.
And that's my middle name, Francis.
Is it? Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of people called him Frank. I called him Chief because he was a chief in the Navy in World War II.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if
so
I
you
told
didn't
that.
Call him Dad. You called your dad Chief.
I called
chief.
Him Chief. Well, chief. No, when I was younger, I called him
Oh,
dad.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
Because I wanted money. see, I grew up in a, it was my sister and I.
Okay.
And she's, God bless her, she passed away 2 years ago at 70.
Mm.
Damn cancer.
Oh, wow.
Her.
Yeah.
And anyway,
God rest her soul.
I had this, I didn't take school very seriously.
Joined the club. Yeah.
And she was an A student.
Your sister.
And
what's her sister's name?
Therese.
Therese?
Named after St. Therese,
oh,
I
sure.
would imagine. So anyway.
Feast Day was just a couple of
yeah.
weeks ago.
So I got this, when I was in grammar school, I got this, why can't you be like your sister?
Oh, sure.
Because I think
she's an A student,
yeah,
blah, blah,
yeah.
blah.
You know, you know.
She
you
doesn't
know.
Get in trouble.
I don't know how I got through. I mean,
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember ever doing any homework. My sister was always doing homework. I mean, she'd be up till 1 in the morning doing homework. I said, what are you doing? Let's watch Shaq Theater. Remember Shaq Theater, Frank?
Of course.
My grandma.
Forget that he's here.
Okay, all right.
He's now, over here. Pretend he's over
okay,
here.
Okay, now listen.
Okay.
Shaq Theater was on every
sure,
Saturday
I
at midnight.
It. Yeah.
And
I can't remember who the host was.
My parents wouldn't let me watch it.
Yeah. It was scary.
So my
movie.
Sister and I would take turns staying at my grandmother's who lived at 70th and Chappelle.
Yeah.
She would let us stay up to watch it.
Yeah, she didn't know what it was.
But we had to watch Lawrence Welk first. So if you could stay
Saturday
awake.
Night.
Yeah. yeah. Lawrence, never missed Lawrence Welk.
I focused.
And the Lawrence Welk was on at 8 and Shaq Theater came on at 12.
Yeah, so that's 4 hours.
So yeah. And you know, by the way, she lived on the same block that Johnny Torrio, the gangster,
yeah.
lived on.
Who did, your grandma?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in fact, they tried to kill him in front of his apartment.
Oh, wow.
Building there. Yeah. yeah, I remember her telling me that.
So you got your dad's class picture.
Yeah, if you want to see that.
What school is that? Oh, that's St. Philip.
So there, he died in.
What year is that?
1933. Yeah.
God bless him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I bet everybody in that picture is dead now.
Well, I would imagine
yeah.
they are. My dad said a lot of them got killed in World War II.
Oh, sure they did.
Yeah, World War II wiped out a lot of them.
Yeah.
He said. And he went to Ignatius then.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
And
he was a smart guy.
He was a smart guy. I don't know what happened
yeah.
to me, but but he was a great guy, my dad.
A chief.
He was a chief.
Rest his soul.
I called him chief. He got to Pearl Harbor on Christmas Day.
What else? Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
He was already in the service?
Yeah.
Okay.
He enlisted on the 8th of December, right after Pearl Harbor.
Oh, right after Pearl Harbor.
And he had 2 years of college, so they made him a chief.
Yeah.
And he got to Pearl Harbor on Christmas Day, said there were still bodies in the water when he got there.
Oh, wow.
And they decided to leave the air. They decided to leave the bodies in the Arizona because...
In the trip. Yeah,
yeah because they were losing so many divers going down to get them.
Oh, going down to get them, yeah.
That they decided to just leave them there. And he said... But then he ended up on the Intrepid, the carrier.
Yeah.
Off Okinawa, they lost half their crew from kamikazes.
Oh, yeah.
So he went through a lot. He went through a lot, so...
And what about where did he meet your mom?
They met at... when he got back from the service... by the way, my mom was in the service, too. My mom was in the Navy, too.
Oh, was she? I didn't know
Yeah,
that.
She was in the Navy also. They didn't meet in the Navy, but he went back to business school, and that's where he met my mom.
Okay.
Yeah, she went
He gave her the business. That's where he gave her the business.
Then they gave me the business. But here is my graduation picture.
Okay. St. Philip Neri. What year is this? St. Philip
Neri, 64.
Okay.
Now, we had four priests.
Wow.
I mean, who has four priests today?
Yeah, exactly.
You're lucky if you have a priest, one priest.
Yeah.
But we had four. Huh. Yeah.
I probably know some of the guys in that picture.
I'm sure you do. Denny Connell.
Connell, of course.
A lot of these guys have passed on.
Yeah. Denny's still alive.
Denny's still alive. Yeah. Well, that alcohol preserves you.
It pickles you.
But I loved it. You know, my sister kept all my parents' stuff.
Did she really?
My sister passed away, I got all the stuff.
And this happened, your sister just died 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Oh, I didn't
know breast
that.
Cancer.
I'm sorry.
Breast cancer got her.
Did she have a family?
No, she was gay, but she had a partner.
Okay. Oh, did she really?
And her partner passed away a year before she did.
Oh, wow.
Of pancreatic cancer. So, they were great.
Yeah.
My sister and I canceled each other out every election. I mean, it's hard to believe we grew up in the same house.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, this is America. You can vote for
exactly
who you want.
So far you can.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to tell, I worked the wagon for 20 years.
Okay.
I worked the bum wagon in 12 when I first came on.
Yeah.
And Madison Street didn't look like it does today. Mm. You know, we had the Star Hotel.
Skid Row. Yeah.
Skid Row.
Yeah.
Right. The Star Hotel.
You know who was an old friend of mine was Father McDermott, the pastor of Skid Row.
Oh, my God.
Iggy McDermott, yeah.
Yeah.
Old pal of mine.
Yeah.
So anyway, go ahead.
Well, anyway, so I'm working the wagon with Leroy McNamara. God bless you, Leroy. I love you. He was the greatest guy. And we actually drank, too. So
on the job.
On the job, yeah. And we were on.
Good old days.
We were on Midnights.
Okay.
And Midnights was a great time because
and you guys are driving the wagon.
Driving the wagon. Yeah. And so there was a DOA in the project.
Dead on arrival.
Yeah, at 1440 was 14th Street.
Yeah.
On the 8th floor. So Leroy had a bad leg.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to carry this guy down 8 flights of stairs. So it was like 2 in the morning. So we threw him over the side.
Out the window.
Out the window. Yeah. And,
he was already dead.
He was already dead, yeah. So, but we didn't want to carry him down 8 floors. The elevators never worked, so he wouldn't have fit in the elevator anyway.
Yeah.
So we threw him over the side, and then we went down and picked him up and threw him in the...
Scraped him up.
So unfortunately, when we took him to the morgue, the morgue guy, he had all kinds of bruises and... So I guess he called the captain, and he said, this guy looks like a homicide victim. So Leroy was an old timer. He was an old timer from Ireland.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He had the brogue. I couldn't understand him.
Yeah.
And I worked with him for 5 years. So I couldn't almost, but I didn't know, especially when he was drinking, you know.
Yeah.
So we were called in the captain's office. The greatest guy, McManus was
the captain.
Yeah. The captain. Yeah. They were all Irish then. All Irish. So he says, Leroy says, Duke, don't say anything.
Right.
I'll do the talking. Because I only had like 2 years on the job.
Yeah.
So the captain says, Leroy, did you guys have a DOA at 14th Street tonight? Leroy says, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He says, you didn't throw him over the balcony, did you? Somebody was looking out the window and saw us.
Oh.
And they thought he was still alive.
Oh, yeah.
He said, no, Leroy said, no. He was dead. He was already dead. So then about a week later, we were parked at Monroe and Loomis, and there was a nursing home there.
Yeah.
And it's about 6:45. We're finishing our last beer. And and I hear this thump on the top of the truck.
On the cop
and
of the
I
wagon.
Look, yeah. And I look, and there's this body falling by the window.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Somebody decided to commit suicide,
onto you
jumped
guys.
Out the window, and landed on the truck.
Oh, wow.
And fell to the side. And this was the days when you didn't get overtime pay.
Yeah.
I said, we're going to have to do something, you know, because the sun's coming up. People are going to see it. Leroy said, somebody will find her.
As a woman.
And just drove away. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, those were the days. Now, one more wagon story.
Okay.
This is when the police used to pick up the dead bodies. I don't think they do it anymore.
Yeah.
So we in the Star Hotel.
Where was that?
It was on Madison Street.
Madison Street.
Yeah. That's where all the...
Oh, Skid Row.
The Skid Row. That's where they... Speck stayed.
Oh, yeah.
They caught
oh, really? When
they,
yeah.
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 And so we had a guy...
Born to raise hell.
Born to raise hell. That doctor was cleaning off his arm.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And
doctor was an Irish doctor, as
yeah.
I recall, at Cook County Hospital.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we got a call. See about... Well, it was a well-being call. I hated those calls.
Yeah.
See about the well-being, because you knew it wasn't going to end well.
Yeah.
So what happened was, you know, the rooms were... They had, like, chicken wire between the rooms.
Oh, yeah. Flop house.
Like
flop house.
It was only like 50 cents a day to stay there. So,
yeah, yeah.
So, this guy put a stick of dynamite in his mouth.
Oh, my God.
And lit it. Can you imagine?
Oh.
This guy is waiting for this thing to go off.
And then you guys had to go
and
pick up.
Yeah, we got him.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It was a,
probably blew
oh,
his
what
head
a
off,
mess.
Right?
Yeah. And he flew into the guy's next door. The guy in the next room. He
yeah.
flew in there.
Through the chicken.
The blast
line.
Blew
oh.
him into the
oh,
next
wow.
room. So I have one more.
Okay.
I had the worst suicides downtown when I worked downtown.
Yeah.
In the wagon.
Yeah.
We had a guy on. He was on the Congress L.
Yeah.
And he stuck his head out to see if his stop was coming up.
Oh no! The windows in them. That,
yeah.
Those days, yeah.
Yeah. And the steel girder.
Oh.
Knocked his head off.
Just took his head right off.
And he fell back into the car.
With no head.
With no head. Headless.
Oh.
And he was sitting next to like an 80-year-old woman, blood all over the place. And she had a heart attack and died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we get there. And, you know, we had to go pick his head up.
Yeah, you guys go find that head.
So we flipped a coin.
Oh, yeah.
To see who'd go down the track to get it. And I lost. So.
Oh, you lost a coin flip.
I lost. So I'm walking down the track, and the sergeant says, "Duke, watch out for the third rail."
Oh, yeah.
They didn't even turn the electricity off.
Yeah.
So I go, "Which one is the third one?"
Yeah.
He said, "Spit, you'll see."
Oh,
so I spit.
Wow.
And I spit. So I got his head, and I grabbed him by the hair, and I picked him up. And I said, "Is that him?" And he said, "No, he was taller." That's a true story, though.
We gotta wrap up. This has been just so enjoyable.
I got to do this again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
always
yeah.
great to have you on the show.
By
pal.
The way, I just want to say one more thing.
Yes.
God bless South Shore.
Yeah.
The greatest
the neighborhood.
I'm gonna cry now.
The old neighborhood.
The greatest time to grow up.
Yeah.
No problems.
Yeah.
We slept with the windows open.
The kids
sometimes
run
we
out,
slept
yeah,
outside.
Yeah.
My dad used to walk our dog at Jackson Park.
Yeah.
We lived at 7127 Merrill.
Yeah.
Everybody loved everybody. Great time.
That was a good ad, 71st
yeah.
and Merrill.
I had to serve 615 Mass all the time
sure.
because
didn't
I lived
right, yeah.
I had 5 minutes from
oh, yeah.
the church.
Yeah.
615 Mass, there'd be me, the priest, and a drunk guy in there. There was three of us there. But I live so close that they,
sure.
I had to serve 615 Mass. So that's why I don't get up early anymore.
All right, Alamo. Thank you, pal.
Oh, I love you guys.
Love you,
guys.
Buddy.
You know?
All right, that's the amazing James Duke Alamo Lynch. Let's give me a hand.
Remember the Alamo.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna it was take in all the papers.
We're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio and be right back after these messages from our friends.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hey, folks, don't go just yet. Grandpa will be back. Mike? Who's Mike? Oh, that's his name? I didn't even know he had a name. I thought it was just Grandpa. All right, well, we'll be right back on Hibernian Radio with Mike Houlihan.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Cops and firefighters risk their lives almost every day, so they shouldn't have to risk their hard-earned dough in any get-rich schemes or the blather of old pals in the real estate biz. And good luck trying to figure out the stock market or cryptocurrency or even economics 101 when you come home exhausted at the end of your shift. What you need is somebody you can trust. And they're in short supply these days. Hey, take it from me. I've lost fortunes in showbiz because I thought I was smarter than everybody else, and I wound up bankrupt and broke. It took me a long time to decide to find a friend I could trust who had my family's best interests at heart. That friend was my late pal, Joe Madden. I met him as he passed the basket at St. Luke's, and I'd turn my pockets inside out as he came to my pew, and I'd say, "I'm tapioca." He laughed, but didn't stop him from supporting my films and showbiz endeavors over the years. Joe Madden had my back. A few years before he died, Joe started Madden Funds with his sons, Mike and Danny. The Maddens and Houlihans have been pals for a long, long time. They can advise the best path for your investments. Madden Funds will have your back too. Need advice on your 401k or your rollover IRA? You can trust Madden Funds to help you protect and grow your investments now and in your family's future. Go to their website, maddenfunds.com, or call Mike or Dan Madden at 708-848-3200 and tell them Hooli sent you.
And we're back. That was great. Listen to the one and only James Duke Alamo Lynch. He'll be back as soon as he gets his everything in order. Hey, I want to remind everybody, the Emerald Society of Illinois annual Southside meeting is coming up Thursday, April 25th. At least that's the end of this month. April 25th at Cork and Carry in Beverly, 10614 Southwestern Avenue. Starts at 7 p.m. Drink specials, including Guinness and mixed libations as well. Delicious eats catered by Calabria Catering. Oh, their food at the parade party is so delicious. Music by the one and only DJ Rootin' Tootin' Billy Wooten. A performance by the finest pipe and drum band in all the land, the Pipes and Drums of the Emerald Society. The Emerald Society Commissary will be available for all your shopping needs as well. So hope to see everybody there. I won't be there, fortunately. I'll be on my way to Buffalo. But Thursday, April 25th, Cork and Carry, 10614 Southwestern at 7. The Emerald Society annual Southside meeting. Now, Billy, you know, whenever I walk down Western Avenue, I'm looking in the window, Ken's, Wrong's, Hearts, Cork and Carry, any of those great Irish saloons, I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist. He says to me, "Hey, Hooli, who died?" Donald W. O'Reilly, age 102, World War II, United States Armed Air Forces veteran. Resident of Naperville since 1958, former spouse of the late Dorothy O'Reilly, beloved father of Michael O'Reilly, Patrick O'Reilly, the late Timothy O'Reilly, Kathleen O'Reilly, and Maureen, Colleen, Daniel, and Aaron. Don grew up in Milwaukee, attended Archbishop Sebastian Mesner High School. Don served as a military policeman and an MP in the United States Army Air Force from 1942 to 45, stationed in England. After his honorable discharge, he received a degree in mechanical engineering. Don was a longtime member of St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church, the VFW Post, Judd Kennel, Post 43, all in Naperville. Don was a lifelong Green Bay Packers fan. I put that at the end, too, Don. God rest his soul, Don Old O'Reilly. Eileen Keane, 98. A native of Meelin, County Cork, Ireland, beloved wife of 50 years to late Martin Keane, devoted mother of Timothy, Anne, and Kathleen. God rest her soul, Eileen Kemp. Eileen Keane. Annie Kemp, Nee Joyce, 88. She was the proud and loving mother of Anne, Maureen, and John. Proud and cherished grandmother of four. loving, devoted wife of the late Anthony Kemp, born in Glen Avenue, County Mayo, Ireland. Her life was her family. God rest her soul, Annie Kemp. Edmund J. Burke, 88, born in Castle Island, County Kerry, Ireland, son of the late Edmund and Delia. He's survived by his loving wife of 60 years, Eileen. Cherished father of Teresa A. Burke and Delia Burke, he proudly worked for the Chicago CTA for 40 years, meeting many fellow Irishmen who became lifelong friends. Ed was a family man, loved by all, and will be missed for his stories, jokes, and cranks. In lieu of flowers, donation, his name can be made to the St. Patrick Fathers. God rest his soul, Edmund J. Burke. Mary Kate Coyle, a native of Gladry, Belmullet, County Mayo, Ireland, passed away at the age of 85. Beloved wife of the late John Coyle, loving mother of Michael and Anna, cherished grandmother of eight. God rest her soul, Mary Kate Coyle. Francis R. Cavanaugh, 84, served in the United States Air Force. On May 28, 1960, he married Joanne Frost, and together they made their life and raised their family in Braidwood. Francis was an amazing person who could strike up a conversation with anyone. He shared his affinity for gardening, homemade wine, jelly, and tomato juice. Francis' family enjoyed his stories of growing up on a farm. He was extremely proud of his Irish heritage and his strong Catholic faith. Surviving are his wife of nearly 64 years, Joanne Cavanaugh, his daughter Cherie, sons Frank and Scott. God rest his soul, Francis Cavanaugh. John Russell Jack Carlson, 74, of Payless, graduate of Quigley South, he was a renowned teacher of English, guidance counselor, retreat leader, also a talented guitarist and singer who led the St. Barnabas Folk Group. And for many years, inspiring churchgoers to lift their voices in song. Jack is survived by his beloved wife of 51 years, Marilyn, and his loving sons, Brian, Dan, and Matt. God rest his soul, Jack Carlson. Kevin H. McDevitt, 45. Ooh, wait, that's way too young. Beloved son of Kevin and Brenda, loving brother of Mary Ellen McDevitt, Sarah, and the late Brian Patrick, member of Local 399. God rest his soul, Kevin H. McDevitt. Vanessa Vanny O'Brien, 59. This is a great obit. Vanny O'Brien, 59, of Beverly, passed on St. Patrick's Day, one of her favorite days. She was the youngest of eight children. Vanny was created or cared for by her late parents, Annie and Donald. Vanny was the Down syndrome. And living with Down syndrome, Vanny was a lifelong time participant in the Mount Greenwood Special Recreation Association, a beloved employee at County Fair Foods. She worked at the deli counter for 22 years, always greeting customers and co-workers with a smile. She volunteered at Smith Village, loved her many pet dogs, big and small, as well as playing the piano and guitar, country line dancing, taking photos, and watching the TV show I Love Lucy. Known for her etiquette, Vanny often led prayer before holiday meals and at family weddings, never shying away from an opportunity to share motivational words of encouragement. God rest her soul, Vanny O'Brien. That's a special story. Also, a good friend of mine, I didn't know about this, my friend Cyril Regan lost his wife, Josephine, age 59, Josephine Regan, beloved wife of Cyril Regan for 30 years, loving mother of David Regan, devoted daughter of Bridie Sheehan and the late Christopher Sheehan. In lieu of flowers, memorials to Gigi's Playhouse. God rest her soul, Josephine M. Regan, and our condolences go out to our old friend Cyril Regan. So let's close up the crypt, Billy. Take a little break, and we'll be right back for a little Hooli Town action. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150,
and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Deep, deep, deep
in the south side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep,
all the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks. Where the owners spoke Yakky Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Can I get you two?
This yeah. This is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what?
Oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
My.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
Crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as... Hoolytown.
Hoolytown.
Welcome to Hoolytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hoolytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, welcome to Hoolytown. Let me tell you a little story about Walter. Walter used to take his wife Ethel to the state fair every year. And every time he would say to her, Ethel, you know, I'd love to go for a ride in that helicopter. But Ethel would always reply, I know that, Walter, but that helicopter ride is $50. And $50 is $50. Finally, they went to the fair, and Walter said to Ethel, Ethel, you know, I'm 87 years old now, and if I don't ride that helicopter this year, I may never get another chance. Once again, Ethel replied, Walter, you know that helicopter is $50, and $50 is $50. This time, the pilot overheard the couple's conversation and said, listen, folks, I'll make a deal with you. I'll take both of you for a ride. If you can both stay quiet the entire ride, not say a word, I won't charge you. But if you say just one word, it's $50. Walter and Ethel agreed, and up they went in the helicopter. The pilot performed all kinds of fancy moves and tricks, but not a word was said by either Walter or Ethel. Pilot did his death-defying trick over and over again, but still there wasn't much, so much as one word said. When they finally landed, the pilot turned to Walter and said, wow, I got to hand it to you. I did everything I could to get you to scream or shout, but you didn't. I'm really impressed. Walter replied, well, to be honest, I almost said something when Ethel fell out. But, you know, $50 is $50. Okay, couple of quickies. Jenny's friend Debbie was complaining about a sore throat. So Jenny said, you know, when I have that, I always give a BJ to my husband. And the next day, I'm better. You should try it. Next day, Debbie comes in singing. How did it go? Asked Jenny. Brilliant, says Debbie. Your husband couldn't believe it was your idea. Okay, final one. And this is appropriate for this show. Sometimes someone unexpected comes into your life out of nowhere, makes your heart race, and changes you forever. We call these people cops. All right, what fun tonight. Listen to Alamo. Hey, everybody, say a little prayer for Alamo. We can all use our prayers, but he's in a situation where he needs our prayers. So God love him. And next week I have two great guests, Cammy. I can't remember the rest of it, but they'll be on. You'll love it. So much fun being with you every week. Don't forget all our new website, hibernianmedia.org. Oh, it's hot to trot. HibernianMedia.org. Check out the new website and get in touch. We'd love hearing from our fans. We will see you later. Bye. And I wondered
just to see how far I was from God. And I buckled up my shoes and then I started walking.
reason. I've been